minutes.
Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Parents Monday began burying the children who were killed in a suicide bombing Sunday at a crowded park in Lahore, Pakistan. Officials put the death toll at 72, including 29 children. The number of injured reached at least 300, Pakistan officials said. Pakistan's government said it would start a military crackdown on the Taliban group that claimed responsibility for the attack, Reuters reported. The bombing targeted Christians gathered for Easter at a Lahore park popular with families. Pope Francis denounced the attack. So did Malala Yousafzai, the young Nobel Peace Prize winner who survived a Taliban shooting in Pakistan. "My heart goes out to the victims and their families and friends," she said. "Every life is precious and must be respected and protected." A military spokesman said Monday that security forces have arrested some suspects and those who may have helped. The group that claimed responsibility was once part of the Pakistani Taliban. The group is considered to be independent now. The group said the attacker targeted Christians. Mohammed Arshad saw the attack. He criticized security officials for not limiting who could enter or leave the park. The attack has been criticized by national and international leaders. Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif went to Lahore Monday morning. He led a meeting of top civilian and security officials. He said the attack would not slow the country's efforts to end terrorism in Pakistan. Officials have increased the number of security forces in parks and other public areas throughout Pakistan in answer to the attack. An internet activist living in New York says three of his family members have been detained by Chinese officials over an open letter to the Chinese president. Mario Ritter has the report.
Chinese officials are reportedly searching for the author of an open letter calling for the resignation of Chinese President Xi Jinping. Activist Wen Yunqiao said his parents and younger brother have been missing since Tuesday. He says the government harassed his family. Wen has been a vocal critic of China's government. However, he denied involvement in the letter. He said he shared the letter on his Twitter account after it was published in China. Wu Jie News posted the letter March 4th. That was the first day of annual meetings of top Chinese Communist Party officials, known as the National Party Congress. In the letter, Xi is blamed for unprecedented problems in China, and it calls for him to step down. A second Chinese reporter is said to have disappeared Tuesday from the Beijing airport as he tried to board a flight to Hong Kong. He has been identified as writer Jia Jia. His lawyer told Western news agencies that police took away the writer after he warned other reporters against republishing the letter. Two top editors and two other technicians from that website are also reportedly being held. Experts say the widening police probe suggests that investigators do not know who wrote the letter and are under pressure to find out. The letter was signed by loyal Communist Party members and has spread widely by email. Experts say Wu Jie was designed to report on Xi's economic plan to increase Chinese investment and trade in Asia and Europe. It began operations in September 2015. President Xi has increased control of internet coverage in China and removed opinions that differ from Communist Party leaders. The crackdown has brought harsher punishment for writers and editors whom the government says have spread rumors. I'm Mario Ritter.
A new study reports on jobs in which women earn the least compared to men doing the same jobs. Bruce Alpert has the details.
American women who work as computer programmers, chefs, and dentists earn 28% less than men doing the same jobs. Those are the jobs with the biggest wage differences between men and women, according to a new study by Glassdoor. Glassdoor is an economic research company and employment website in California. Overall, the study found that women earn 5.4% less than men for doing the same job, in the same location, and for the same employer. The wage differences between women and men were similar in the United Kingdom, Australia, Germany, and France, Glassdoor said. Andrew Chamberlain is the chief researcher at Glassdoor. He said 5.4% is a big difference in pay between men and women because it cannot be explained by women and men taking different kinds of jobs. It can only be explained by bias against women or other causes, such as women not negotiating as well for pay, he said. According to the study, women earned at least 15% less than men in these job categories: psychologists, pharmacists, physicians, opticians, pilots, and game artists. But in the fields of social work, selling merchandise, research assistants, and physician advisors, women earn more than men, Glassdoor said. In social work, women earn 7.8% more than men, the report said. That was the job category with the biggest advantage for women. It was still far less than the 28% pay advantage for men in some fields, the study said. For its study, Glassdoor looked at salaries of 505,000 people. The salaries were entered voluntarily by users of the Glassdoor website. One problem with the research is some of the categories had small samples. For instance, only 138 computer programmer salaries were covered in the report. Catherine Hill is vice president of research at the American Association of University Women. She said the Glassdoor study provides important information. The association found similar results in 2012 when it compared salaries between women and men after 1 year of college, working the same job. The study found women earned 7% less than men 1 year out of college. Research suggests that women do not negotiate as well as men when it comes to pay, Hill said, and women are generally more uncomfortable asking fellow employees how much they make, so they can see if they are being paid fairly. women are more comfortable talking about their sex lives than their paychecks, Hill said. The U.S. Census Bureau has reported a bigger wage gap for men and women than the Association of University Women and Glassdoor studies. Comparing salaries for full-time workers, the Census Bureau said women only earn 79% as much as men. Both Chamberlain, the author of the Glassdoor study, and Hill said the lower wage gap in their studies does not mean women do not face discrimination. Chamberlain said the 5.4% difference was higher than he thought it would be. Over a lifetime, that much of a difference in pay can amount to a large amount of money, he said. The U.S. Census Bureau wage gap showed women only earned 57% as much as men in 1975. It is now up to 79%. That is progress, Hill said, but not enough. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Next, Ana Mateo brings us this week's health report.
Colon cancer is linked with obesity, lack of exercise, and a poor diet, high in processed foods. However, scientists have also identified genetic mutations connected to the disease. Researchers at Tel Aviv University are studying the evolutionary history of colon cancer. Microbiologist Rena Arbisfeld is with the university. She wanted to answer this genetic question. Where do these mutations come from? Our lifestyle? The environment? Our diet? Or did these mutations also exist a long time ago? In other words, is the increase in the number of cancer cases today the result of natural evolution alone? To answer this question, Arbisfeld turned to an unusual source, Hungarian mummies that were discovered in 1994 in a church. These preserved bodies rested in a cool, dry climate for more than 2.5 centuries. They give a rare opportunity to research biologists. An embalmer is a person who prepares a body for burial. Hungarian embalmers used different techniques than Egyptian embalmers. In ancient Egypt, embalmers removed fluids and internal organs. This made mummification of the bodies happen quickly, over a period of 2 or 3 months. Hungarian embalmers mummified more slowly. They left the fluids and organs intact. This means the mummies have retained tissue that could be better analyzed for evidence of disease. Arbisfeld and her team isolated DNA samples from 22 mummies. Then they sequenced the genetic material in the hunt for mutations. This was not easy. Arbisfeld says that after many tries, her team found one specific mutation in a gene called APC. This gene is important. The APC gene is known to be involved in the development of cancer. Arbisfeld explains that the APC gene is what she calls the gatekeeper for the development of cancer. This information led Arbisfeld to this hypothesis. If our ancestors with the genetic mutation for colon cancer lived long enough, they would have developed the disease, just like us. Arbisfeld says her next step is to sequence samples from other sources for a larger follow-up study. She says understanding our genetic past can better explain the present, and understanding a disease's genetic past can help to handle the disease's future. I'm Ana Mateo.
This is What's Trending Today. In America, one big Easter tradition sends children hunting for hidden Easter eggs. Children carry baskets and collect eggs made of chocolate or candy. They search in the house, their yards, or a park. But one egg hunt on Saturday went wrong in the northeastern state of Connecticut. A candy company hosted an egg hunt for children. The company is called Pez, and it hid more than 9,000 eggs on its property in Connecticut. But way more people showed up than the candy maker expected. The egg hunt was set up on three separate fields, and children would be assigned to hunt for eggs based on their ages. But Monday morning, stories reported parents going out of control at the hunt and made Pez one of the top trending topics on Facebook. It turns out the parents rushed onto the fields where the eggs were hidden. They said they were trying to get eggs for their children. But instead, they left behind a lot of hurt feelings. One 4-year-old boy told a local television station someone pushed him over and took his eggs. The boy's bucket for collecting eggs also broke. One employee said the display of parents rushing onto the fields reminded him of locusts. "We did our best," he said. "Unfortunately, it fell a little short." Two Pez pages on Facebook had comments from people saying the event was not organized well, while others said the parents overwhelmed an event designed for kids. The company tried to make up for the chaos by giving people more candy as they were leaving the event and passing out coupons for future purchases. But in Washington, D.C., at the White House, the picture was very different. On Monday afternoon, President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama hosted their Easter egg roll. It was the last before Obama leaves office after 8 years. The event featured thousands of people outside the White House who came to see the President and First Lady read books to children, enjoy the grounds, play games, and also roll eggs with long spoons. It is a tradition going back to the late 1800s. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
There are over 18 million college students in the United States. Trying to understand who they vote for and why can be difficult. But some are making their voices heard in the 2016 presidential election. Pete Musto has more.
George Washington University is at the top of the list of U.S. schools with the most politically active students in 2016. But students at the school say they are not so sure about that. VOA asked several students about how politically active they are on a scale from 1 to 10. None of the students put themselves higher than a 6 on that scale. VOA also asked the students to describe the presidential election in one word. Several said crazy. The Princeton Review created the list of schools they say have high numbers of politically active students. The Princeton Review is an organization and publication that ranks U.S. colleges and universities each year in a book called The Best 380 Colleges. The Princeton Review surveys more than 136,000 students at 380 schools. But the organization told VOA that the list of politically active schools is based on only one question. Student-run political groups have an active presence on campus. Strongly disagree, disagree, neither agree or disagree, agree, strongly agree. Reagan McAllister, 19, is a first-year student of International Affairs and Asian Studies at George Washington University, or GW. Originally from Niceville, Florida, McAllister says the reason politics are important at GW is the location, Washington, D.C.
Just being right by the White House and the Capitol and everything, our professors and the students are constantly hearing about the news, and it's kind of hard not to because it's right where we live. People with interest in politics come to GW to be among it all.
McAllister first started following politics when she studied in Turkey in 2015 before coming to GW.
There was a big election that happened in June. Leading up to that election was when I really got into it, and it was mostly Turkish politics at the time. I learned a lot about it, and so that kind of just carried over when I came to college.
The political activity of young people can be hard to predict. For example, college-educated young people vote differently from young people who never attend college. Kay Kawashima Ginsburg is the director for the Center for Information and Research on Civil Learning and Engagement, or CIRCLE. CIRCLE is an organization based at Tufts University in Medford, Massachusetts. CIRCLE studies the political activity of people in the U.S. younger than 30. Kawashima Ginsburg says college-educated young people are twice as likely to vote in primary elections as those with no college experience. She says the 2008 campaign that elected President Barack Obama broke a 30-year record in numbers of young people involved. The 2012 campaign also had high numbers of young voters. But, she added, young people have trouble feeling connected to politics.
We were hearing both from young people who are in college and out of college about how they perceive voting. For them, it was starting to become this old, outdated thing that has no relevance or impact. And that showed truly in voting statistics, where we recorded the lowest youth turnout ever in 2014.
Young people are not alone in their low turnout numbers. Fair Vote is an organization that studies U.S. democracy and elections. Fair Vote reported only about 36% of the entire voting population voted in the 2014 midterm election. But Kawashima Ginsburg states things are changing for young people once again. Some presidential candidates are gaining back the youth vote. Senator Bernie Sanders has received more than 1.5 million youth votes in the primary race, she says. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and businessman Donald Trump have both received more than 600,000 youth votes. Nancy Thomas is the director of the Institute for Democracy and Education, also at Tufts University. The Institute started working on a project called the National Study of Learning, Voting, and Engagement, or NSOLVE, in 2013. NSOLVE researchers examine enrollment and voting records from 2012 and 2014. They use the information from these records to study the voting habits of U.S. college students. Thomas says there is no other project like NSOLVE. There are more college students now over the age of 30. Studies of young people find different results than studies only of college students. She also says student movements like the Black Lives Matter protests show college campuses are important places for political activity.
People in college back in the 80s and 90s were pretty disengaged, and they were disengaged from public life or civic life in general. But I think the combination of enthusiasm for these primaries and the last couple of years of student protests means that some kind of sleeping giant is being awakened.
Thomas adds that schools where politics are frequently discussed in class have the most politically active students. If professors use political examples in any subject, including math or history, students will see how important politics are. Hannah Korn, 20, is a second-year student studying international affairs and political science at GW. Originally from Wilmington, New Jersey, Korn is also the membership director of the GW College Democrats. The GW College Democrats are a student group that supports the Democratic Political Party. Korn says there are many political student groups and events at GW. Also, political discussion is everywhere.
Students would be talking about it in line to get their food at the cafeteria. You'd be in the library and you'd look over at people laughing and they'd be watching a political talk show. Even at a social gathering, people are discussing politics. Even when you don't want to hear about it, it will be right outside your door, so you might as well reach out and also engage in it.
Korn joined the GW College Democrats in her first year because she wanted to learn more about the Democratic Party. But she says she has also learned a lot about people with different opinions from her own. She frequently talks and debates with members of the GW College Republicans.
We share an office, actually, so we are constantly exchanging ideas. It's good to learn both sides, but I think it's very difficult to be a strident conservative or Republican at our campus because the Republicans, even I know, are not so far to the right. People who are more conservative don't speak out, but I think there are more of them in our campus than we realize.
VOA reached out to the GW College Republicans, but received no response. Both Thomas and Kawashima Ginsburg agree there is an increasing number of young Republicans voting in this primary. But Thomas says young Republicans care about different issues than older party members. Older members care more about terrorism, while young members care more about government spending. Both younger and older Democrats seem to care about the same issues, she says, but fewer young people are joining any political party at all. Kawashima Ginsburg points out that technology plays a major role in how young people choose to be involved.
Social media has played a bigger role in this age. In a way, young people are able to organize themselves online with their like-minded peers and start some action or cause without being told what might be helpful for a candidate or what they are supposed to do for the campaign.
Thomas says that students entering the field of education vote more than any other group. Students studying math and science vote the least. Also, African American students vote more than white, Latino, Asian, Pacific Islander, and Native American students. But no matter how they vote, Thomas says, college students are a force that politicians will have to recognize.
There are 18.5 million college students in this country. They could really shape the results of an election.
I'm Pete Musto.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.